Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún Earnings Results Conference Call. My name is Stephanie, and I'll be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. We will conduct a question-and-answer session toward the end of today's call. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the call over to your host for today, Mr. Cristian Morales, CFO. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Colbún's third quarter conference call. My name is Cristian Morales. I'm the CFO of the company, and joining me today is Olivia Hertz, Head of Investor Relations. Hopefully, you have received our third quarter press release via email, or you have downloaded it from our webpage. The results we reported show a significant improvement as compared to the results we have been reporting during the first half of this year, mostly explained by the positive evolution of the hydrological condition in the southern zone of Chile, especially in the last two winter months, July and August. But we must mention that in general, the prevailing hydrological year is still deviated from a normal or average year. Another positive news, we are making good progress in our coal-fired plant, the so-called Santa Maria 1 project, which is a very important piece in our generation portfolio since it will be the efficient thermal complement to our existing hydro portfolio. We are already running tests with coal and producing some electricity that has been injected to the central grid. Taking these two factors under account, we can say that the results for the upcoming periods will mostly depend on the melting conditions and the availability of this Santa Maria plant. Having said that, I will now turn to Olivia for a more detailed analysis of the third quarter results.
Thank you, Cristian. Good morning, everybody. In terms of EBITDA, we have reached $106 million this quarter, a relevant improvement, as Cristian said, from the $41 million recorded during the same quarter of last year, and a relevant improvement from the $8 million of the previous quarter. So the $98 million increase in EBITDA of this quarter, as compared to the second quarter of this year, is explained by four main favorable effects, which are slightly offset by one unfavorable effect. I recommend you take a look at the graph shown on page 4 of our press release as I go through all the effects of the quarter. Please keep in mind that we're comparing third quarter as compared to the second quarter of this year. Okay, so the first and most relevant favorable effect comes from a 48% increase in hydro generation, and which has led subsequently to lower thermal generation. The hydro output of this quarter is mainly explained by the favorable evolution of hydro conditions in some of Colbún's relevant basins, mainly during the months of July and August, as Cristian mentioned. The second favorable effect is related to lower average unit costs of our thermal generation, gas and diesel. Yes, this price effect was mainly driven by lower average cost of diesel generation, but this effect, in turn, was partially offset by higher average cost of gas generation. Regarding diesel prices, the lower diesel average unit cost is explained by the fact that those prices in Chile pretty much mirror WTI, whose average value decreased by 12% during the quarter. There's also a volume effect next to this price effect I just explained, because on top of the lower hydro conditions, we've had an additional effect which lowered thermal generation, which is due to the lower spot prices, yes? So because our diesel facilities presented higher variable costs than the spot prices, thus leading to lower dispatch of our thermal facilities. Just as a reference, the average price during the third quarter was $176 per megawatt hour, as compared to $243 per megawatt during the previous quarter. Also important regarding thermal generation, the total gas generation decreased by 33% quarter over quarter due to the fact that our gas supply contract, remember, for the full capacity of one combined cycle unit of our Nehuenco complex, ended in August. So basically during September we had little gas generation. Moving to the third favorable effect of the quarter, which is due to the higher revenues arising from higher sales volume to customers. We had a 4% increase in sales volume to customers, which is in line with the trends in the system during the quarter, in the whole system. It is worth mentioning, though, that the positive effect arising from higher sales volume, of course, was partially offset by the effect of higher purchases in the spot market to supply those higher sales volumes, and we are going to explain that in the next point. The fourth and last favorable effect is the higher average sales price to contracted customers, so the price effect. The average monomic sales price to regulated and free customers slightly increased in 4% and 5% respectively. These are mainly due to the application of indexation formulas defined in each contract, to the effect of exchange rate appreciation on certain sales prices, which are fixed between periodic tariff revisions, and in this quarter also due to a contract modification of a free client, which implied a non-recurrent income of 20 million. So these four favorable effects were slightly offset by one unfavorable effect, which is registered in two accounts related to the SEREC balance, which is the spot market. This balance includes the sales and the purchases on the spot market. During the third quarter, the company presented a net position in this market in order to comply with its commitments, as opposed to a net seller position in the previous quarter. This can be explained by the favorable evolution of hydro conditions throughout the system. So not only Colbún, but also other hydro players have increased their production, and also the evolution of fuel prices, which both resulted in lower average spot prices as compared to the previous quarter. So on average, the price was lower than the variable cost of our diesel operating power plants, which resulted in a lower dispatch of those plants. Now we will comment on the items below EBITDA. On the non-operating side, we posted a loss of 22 million as compared to a gain of 2 million during the previous quarter. This resulted mainly from a 17 million loss registered in exchange rate differences due to 12% depreciation of local exchange rates, the peso versus dollar. Remember that we still have an excess of assets over liabilities denominated in Chilean pesos. Therefore, every time the peso depreciates, we post a loss in this item. Then the income tax item registers a loss of 35 million during the quarter as compared to an income of 5 million recorded under previous quarter. This is explained by the pre-tax profit, which was higher, and the depreciation of the Chilean peso, which generated a negative effect on taxes. Before we continue, I would like to say a brief comment regarding the Chilean peso and US dollar exchange rate. While the depreciation does have a negative effect on both the exchange rate differences and income tax line, as we have seen in this quarter, this also has a positive economic effect, since we have a significant part of our construction projects, which is denominated in Chilean pesos. So a higher exchange rate lowers the cost of these projects measured in dollars. So in summary, we had a EBITDA partially offset by the unfavorable evolution of non-operating results and the unfavorable effect of on income taxes. So this took third quarter net income to $80 million profit, as compared to previous quarter's net income loss of 16 million. Now, a short analysis of cash flow highlights a net inflow of 16 million by operating activities during the quarter, explained by EBITDA generation and the recovery of credit given to non-contracted regulated customers. This was offset, partially offset by interest payments and also investments made in working capital this quarter regarding disbursements for trade and other accounts payable. Cash flow generated by financing activities was a net inflow of 16 million during the quarter, mainly due to short-term financing operations performed during the period. Cash flows used in investing activities was 190 million in the third quarter, mainly explained by disbursements made in connection with the construction of Santa Maria project and also the Angostura project. In summary, the period, the quarter had a negative cash flow that explains the increase in net debt by 33 million during the quarter, reaching 1.3 billion. So in terms of liquidity, our financial investments reached 255 million.
Okay, thank you, Olivia. As always, we're doing this conference call. I would like to give you some comments about our projects. The projects, as you know, are very important in our long-term vision. And as we explained, the Santa Maria coal fired unit that has a total capacity of 342 megawatts, it's under the commissioning and testing stage. And an important milestone was achieved in September the 17th, when we synchronized the power plant to the central grid for the first time. Up until today, we have operated with both diesel oil and coal, and we have reached a maximum capacity of 125 megawatts. The estimated commercial date or startup date for this plant is December of this year. It is worth mentioning that we have an all-risk insurance policy that covers physical damage as well as advanced loss of profit, and we continue in the process with the contractor, our advisors, and the insurance adjuster to reach to a final conclusion. I mean because of the damage of the earthquake of last year. Now, for the Angostura hydro project, that has a capacity of 316 megawatts. We continue under full execution mode. We are about to complete the deviation panel that must be ready by the end of this year, because we are planning to divert the river between December or January next year. The power cavern is completed. The intake panels and parapet are continue advancing very well. So as a general progress number, the project is at about 46% of progress. The next important milestone, as I said, is the deviation of the river, and that will be in December or January of next year. Now for the San Pedro Hydro Project, we really don't have any relevant update. We continue conducting additional research to have a better knowledge of the soil, and we plan to have more information by the first quarter of next year. The schedule of the construction and the updated CapEx will be defined once we concluded all this additional research. So with that, I would like to turn to you if someone has questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, press star 2. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star 1 to begin. Your first question comes from the line of Christian Jadot with Santander. Please proceed.
Hi, Christian. Hi, Olivia. Congratulations for the results. So Jason Haraga from Santander. I have Jan West question about the electricity tariffs. It's mainly about the regulated client tariff. I want to know more about the application of the indexation formulas defined in regulated contracts. If there is a monthly delay or how the indexation formula works.
Okay, Christian. Most of our regulated contracts today are the ones that were awarded through bidding processes. Yes, most of our regulated customers are supplied through those contracts. And the way those contracts are, the price of that contract is updated is through a six-month revision, which is based on the formula that is stated in the contract. And that formula is being updated every 6 months in April and October. And basically, within those 6 months, we only have an extraordinary tariff revision or checking of that formula only if there is a variance above or lower than 10% according to the last reset. So basically, what has happened in the last war is that we haven't had any variance higher or lower than 10%, which means that those prices have not been reset since April this year. That is for regulated customers.
And since they are fixed in pesos, and we have had a more appreciated Chilean peso, that was the case until August. I think September was the opposite. But during the quarter, the general effect was that on average, the Chilean peso was stronger against the dollar, so that also increases the prices denominated in or measured in dollars.
Perfect. One small question about this. The 10% changes, the above or below 10% changes, is like accumulated or it's every month have to be 10% minus 10%?
I'm not sure if they do it daily, but I think they must check it every month. They put all the inputs in the formula in dollars and they check if there is a variance of 10%. But I'm not sure, Christian, if it's daily or monthly, but I know it's not every 6 months. They do it periodically between the 6 months stipulated tariff revision.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Ignacio Galvez with Grupo Security. Please proceed.
Hello, Christian and Olivia. I would like to ask you if you're planning to receive new supply of natural gas for the Nahuenco complex for the next quarters.
Well, Ignacio, as you know, we reached a temporary agreement with ENAP, and we were burning natural gas until the first days of September. And we continue to have, from time to time, some conversations. We believe that we are a natural partner with ENAP. So the point is that with the current spot price that we have today, as we speak today, the spot price is about $120 in some nodes of the system. And if you go further south, given some congestion that you see on the transmission lines, the spot price is even lower than that. I would say lower or close to $80 per megawatt. So if you compare those two prices with the cost of producing in a combined cycle burning natural gas, the cost is slightly above that, so it's really not a strong case, you know, to be using today for Colbún natural gas. But of course, we have two large facilities, and we are a natural candidate, you know, to use natural gas.
Okay, thank you. And how are your expectations about the melting period for the next quarter?
Well, we have seen good water inflows in the basins, for example, in the Maule Basin, which is basically the largest basin and really moves our results. We are, during these days, reaching the the maximum water inflow close to or above 300 cubic meters per second. And if you compare that to last year, we are seeing good water inflows. Another measurement that you can see is the total snow that we have at the Maule Basin at some point reached 2 meters. Last year was below 1 meter. So having said that, we are foreseeing to have a good smelting period with what we call excellence probability of close to 75% to 80%. Last year was 96%.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to pose a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Rodrigo Mora with Moneda. Please proceed.
Hi, Christian. Hi, Olivia. Congratulations for the results. I have a question related to the Santa Maria 1 and Angostura project. In relation to Santa Maria 1, I would like to understand if during November the test of the unit will be using coal, and when do you expect to be ready to start the commercial operation? And related to Angostura, we have seen on media some noises about the water rights. I would like to know your opinion about that.
Yes, thank you, Rodrigo. For the Santa Maria project, as I said, we have reached today the maximum production or capacity is 125 megawatts out of the 340 of net output. And we have been using both oil and coal. And we are going through, we have tested all the equipment, but now we are in the process of all the software that controls all the different equipment can make the plant to work all together. So what we're doing on a daily basis, we reach this maximum capacity and then we stop. And then to run again, we need to start burning oil and then switch to coal. So that has been the mode during this day. We hope during the next, I would say, 2 weeks, if everything goes well, to be 100% running with coal and reaching maximum capacity. And from there, we need to do some, I don't know how it's the exact word in English, recharge of the carga, is to see what happens if you take all the load from the turbine and how the plant reacts. So we still have to perform some tests to be in a position to declare commercial operation by December and during December. So that's for the Santa Maria project. Now for Angostura, I don't know if you want to help me with that.
Okay, Rodrigo, you're right. Maybe for the other people listening to the call, remind what Rodrigo is talking about, I think you're talking about the Madera Condor claim, which was awarded which was awarded in the first instance that happened in June, back in June, and both Colbún and the Water Authority have filed their respective appeal, and this will be studied and resolved in the Santiago Court of Appeal. We estimate that is a process that will take from 8 to 40 months. And this, of course, does not consider a period of time that could later take the Supreme Court, if we need to go to the Supreme Court. instant sentence, as I said, and Colbún is confident of its arguments and those, of course, of the administrative authority, which is also involved in this, to reverse the first instance ruling and obtain a favorable award in the next court. This sentence, also important, does not affect the project construction, nor is it estimated to alter the foreseen date of its startup of operations, since the award does not influence in the construction, but only the enablement for the use of a portion of the water, because this is regarding one of the water rights that we need to operate this plant. So for more information, you can read the notes of our financial statements, where we have also quarterly in reporting the relevant updates on this matter.
Okay. Olivia, I have two questions more, please. The first one is related to the impact of Campanario in terms that Colbún have to face more sales, not estimated. And the second question is related to the capital expenditure estimated for the next year.
Sorry, Rodrigo, your next question? What is your next question?
How much Colbún will spend in capital expenditure next year?
Yes, well, Rodrigo, yes, you're right that we were, you know, quote unquote, awarded this contract, the Campanario contract, I mean, and we are taking about 20 to 21% of the total volume of that contract. And during September, we sold about 25 gigawatt hours under that contract at a price today that is known because it's a public information, so about $170-$180 per megawatt hour. And so if you take, for example, the spot price that we have on average, we make a small gain on that volume, and that's going to be probably the case during the next month of this year, but starting next year, well, the price of that contract goes down, and so most likely the margins of that contract will be much lower. Okay? And for next year CapEx, really it's the only, well, Santa Maria will be finished by then, so it's mm-hmm. a costura, and the number will be close to $300 million.
Okay. And related to San Pedro, when the board expect to make a decision if continue or not with the project?
As I said, the board will make a decision when we have all the information, technical information, safety information, and we have today economic information. Today we have retained very good experts from all over the world, so we are very confident that we will make a good decision.
Okay, Christian. Thank you, Olivia.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Sandra Borente with Deutsche Bank. Please proceed.
Good morning, Christian and Olivia. I have a couple of questions. One, going back to the LNG potential contract, I understand you're not planning on gas production for this quarter, but what about first quarter and second quarter, possibly next year? Do you foresee having to produce on the combined cycle? How's your outlook in terms of potential gas needs for first and second quarter next year?
Yes, well, hopefully next year we'll have Santa Maria 1 running, you know, at full capacity. And so from our, you know, our contract position vis-a-vis our own production, we will probably won't require an important amount from our combined cycles. But having said that, we have to see what happened at the overall system level, and most if we have a smelting period, well, the first quarter next year will be a, I would say, a challenging quarter, because we are coming from a dry condition, and so those plants could be making, those plants combined cycle using natural gas could be gaining a margin if they get a LNG. But for the purpose of servicing our contracts, we are not foreseeing that we will need them.
Okay, not even going into second quarter. Let's say, let's assume 2012 season is a good one starting in late April. But what about like March, beginning of April, given the situation of the melting or the prospects of the melting and the current situation of the reservoirs, don't you think you're going to have to produce with gas?
Sandra, maybe I can add something. If that's okay with you. Of course, as Christian answered in one of the first participants, it's a situation that we will be monitoring permanently. We are a natural partner with ENAP. It's a win-win situation to have a contract for both. So of course, we will be monitoring. It's difficult at this point to say how the melting will evolve. It will also depend on the decision taken by this independent dispatch center during the last quarter now, if they're going to save more water for next year. So it's obviously something that we're going to monitor. It will also depend on the performance of our coal plant. So basically, we have to take into account that melting and Santa Maria are going to be the main drivers for the next month, and we are going to monitor that very closely, and we will not stop having contact with ENAP, and if we think there is an important chance that we will need to dispatch our combined cycle, we will look at the price, of course, of that gas and the flexibility of the supply, and we will take decisions.
Okay, but you're confident you would have access to that ENAP contract if the situation were that way, right?
We haven't signed any contract, so I couldn't make that statement. But
no, I know you don't have a contract, but at least that you believe you have the likelihood of being able to sign potentially a contract if need be.
It's a win-win situation, as Olivia said.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it's a good driver,
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. The other question is regarding this non-recurring $20 million that you mentioned on the modification of the contract. Just to understand where in the income statement that appears, is it fully embedded on the power revenue line? Is it from there where where we have this non-recurring gain, or is it farther down the line?
Yes, exactly. It's in the non-regulated customer line.
Okay, perfect.
We affected that line, and that's where we have also made a disclosure in our press release.
And fully embedded, as you said, in that line, yes.
Perfect. Okay, and then finally, the $31 million dollars you recovered from the trade from the non-contracted clients. Is that showing the operating cash flow?
Yes. Well, this is already an old story, Sandra. This is actually the last pieces of what we of the credit that we've been giving to regulated customers for years now, and I think we have one more quarter to go, and we will recuperate the full amount. But this is money somehow that has already passed through our P&L in the past, and that today is just a cash effect. So that's why we mention it only in our cash flow analysis, because if you take EBITDA, we're today invoicing at today's prices, but on top of that, we are recovering that credit that we gave in the past, and that's why we want to mention it, because it's a cash effect.
So if we exclude this $31 million from this recovery, then your operating cash flow would have been negative for the quarter?
Yes, yes, and because, you know, we have been, you know, paying down some invoice account sales from our suppliers of diesel. So whenever we switch from to use more diesel in this company, we receive some credit from our suppliers. And when we start producing more hydro, it's the opposite effect. So now, since we are going from high hydro to less hydro, so high thermal facilities to more hydro, we have been paying down that that credit.
Okay, I understand. Thank you so much. Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
At this time, we have no further questions.
Okay, so I think we don't have any more questions. Thank you very much for joining us in during this quarter. And as always, we're open to answer your calls during the quarter, and hopefully we'll see you on next year. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Great day.